and welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. My name is Barbara Howell, and I will be the board rep this morning. We have a variety of announcements that you can find in the back of your order of service. Please look that over, and please take it home with you so that you're reminded of what you'd like to participate in. I would like to invite you at this time to greet those sitting around you. If you are visiting us today, we particularly welcome you. Please sign the guest ledger at the visitor's table in the foyer. There's a variety of information available on the table about our church, Unitarian Universalism. Help yourself to any of these that interest you. I will be in the social hall after the service if you have any questions about our church. Or if you've been visiting for a while and would like information about becoming a member, I'd be happy to talk to you as well. Before I go further, I'd like to remind members and friends that there will be a listening session today at 11:45 in Classroom 4. This is an opportunity for members of the congregation to ask questions, make suggestions, and raise any concerns you might have about the path we are taking towards full-time ministry. Please join us if you can. It is our tradition that after the Story for All Ages, children depart to go to the service to RE in the back of the church. Next Sunday, we will be having a joint RE with all the kids of all ages. Older children will be paired with youngers to make gingerbread houses. They will also be making ornaments to go to some of the interfaith senior clients. Each family is asked to please bring a bag of candy to decorate the gingerbread houses. Also next Sunday, we will collect the guests at your table boxes that many of you took home for a Thanksgiving service. Even if you didn't get a box, we hope you'll consider giving to the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee, the UU organization that works to promote economic rights, advance environmental justice, and defend civil liberties and help in humanitarian crisis. And just a reminder, if you had ordered fruits and nuts, they're available to be picked up as well. We always enjoy getting to know our guests. If any members have brought guests today, we'd be pleased if you'd introduce them. If any guests have brought themselves and feel comfortable introducing themselves, this would be a good time to do so. We enjoy getting to meet you. Invited to gather in the social hall after the service for refreshments and conversation. The conversation corner is a good place to gather for further discussion of the service. Please put your cell phones on silence mode during the service. I hope you find this service this morning inspirational and warming. Our speaker today is Reverend Hobart, our minister. Thank you. Thank you.
chalice and the light that stands in the chalice are common enough. They are ordinary. Yet the common, the everyday, the ordinary become extraordinary and rich when been given religious expression and meaning. And so this morning we will light our ordinary flame in our ordinary chalice, as we do on each occasion when the people of the congregation come together for public worship. Through this simple ritual, the ordinary takes an extraordinary meaning, significance, and has a power of motivation. Each week here becomes extraordinary over and over again, and we light our chalice in remembrance and celebration of this natural miracle. Our opening hymn is number 12, O Life That Maketh All Things New, and I invite you to rise in body or in spirit.
Worship is a loneliness seeking communion. It is a thirsty land crying out for rain.
Worship is the kindred fire within our hearts. It moves through deeds of kindness and through acts of love.
Worship is the mystery within us, reaching out to the mystery beyond.
It is an inarticulate silence, yearning to speak. It is the window of the moment, open to the sky of the eternal.
This is better, isn't it? It's time for the story. So I invite all of the children and any of you who are young in heart that would like to come down to the front to do so. And if anybody wants to come up here and sit next to me, that's fine too. You just don't have to all be facing me. Okay, thank you very much. I don't feel so lonely now. Well, I see that one of Santa's helpers is here this morning. Nice to have you with us. The title of the story is Let There Be Light. How many of you have noticed this time of year, it becomes very clear that each day has less sunlight than the day before. And unless you get up very late, it is still dark when you get out of bed. And unless you go to bed very early, it is already dark when you go to bed. Now, I'll bet, too, that everyone notices that the weather gets colder in December. And we put on our warm jackets and coats and our gloves or mittens and our hats or caps when we go outside. So far this year, we have not had very much snow in this part of the country. Yesterday morning, in Chicago, before I left to come here, was the first day that I saw snow in Chicago. And there was barely enough to even notice it. It just barely was on the ground. Any of you seen any snow yet? No? Good. Oh, you've seen some snow. Well, some places we've seen some, and some places we haven't. And in some parts of the country, there has been lots and lots of snow, but not around here. But we know there will be lots of snow in the days and months ahead. There will be lots of cold weather, too. Some of us actually look forward to snow and cold. My wife thinks it's the best time of the year, and others can't wait for both the cold and the snow to go away and actually worry a lot about it before it even arrives. Probably we did not notice for a long time, but each day has had less sunlight than the day before since last June the 20th, now almost 6 months ago, when summer officially began. And the days will continue to have less daylight each day until December the 21st, when winter officially begins. The change of the seasons from winter to spring to summer, from summer to fall, from fall back to winter, go on every year. And we can count on that happening. Have you noticed another thing that has to do with light? Light at church? Well, for one thing, every Sunday we light the flame of our chalice, And that continues to burn until the service is over. And then there's another thing. When the children and the teachers go to their religious education classes, we light the lantern. It's sitting there already ready for us, lit. Most of the religions around the world include light one way or another in their religious services and celebrations. And it seems that that is particularly true in these short days of winter when we don't have very much light. Look around the room this morning. We see all kinds of lights. Some of them are the ones that are here every Sunday, but there are some others that we have just put up as we got to the Christmas season. And we see those lights too. We see these candles over here. They're not lit yet, but they will be. And every Sunday, after you go to your religious education classes, the adults take a time to think about the things in their lives that they're happy about or sorrowful about, and we light those candles right back there. So light plays a very important place in our lives. But it's not just a church. People light candles at home, and people make fires in their fireplaces at home. And these things make our lives brighter and warmer, and I think they brighten our spirits too. This time of year, some of us light our windows with candles or bright electric lights. Have any of you done that at your house? And some of us decorate the trees in our yards with bright electric lights. Yeah, there's one person that does that at his house. I bet a lot of other people do too. And most of us bring a tree right into the house and decorate it with lights and ornaments. How many of us already have a Christmas tree in their house? Just a lot of people. How about you adults? Some of you have done that too, haven't you? We'll have one at our house, but we have a different tradition at our house than most people. It's not decorated until Christmas Eve. And then it comes down after the 12 days of Christmas on January the 6th. That's when we do it. And that is the tradition that my wife had when she grew up. And so we still do that in our family. Today, let's remember and let's celebrate that people around the world add lights and color to make the world a brighter and more cheerful place during the winter. So let there be light. Let there be more and more lights. And let each of us let the light of our own lives, our inner light, shine brightly to make the world a warm and better place for everyone. Okay, it's now time to go to RE. Who is our lantern carrier this morning? Well, if you'll come up and pick up the lantern, then as you go out with the rest of the folks, we will sing a song. Have good RE classes this morning.
Now it is time in our service to light candles, expressing our joys and concerns. The greeters will bring you a microphone. Please state your name and share and be brief so we all can get our time. I'm going to light the first candle that during this time of celebration and commercialism, we may not forget the homeless and the dispossessed among us.
John, would you please light a candle of concern for a friend of mine, Randy Benway, who is experiencing chest pain, and he's this coming week is going to be doing stress tests and stuff, but in the hope that the solution to his problem will be not major.
I'm Diane. And I'd like you to light a candle of gratitude that my breast biopsy came back no cancer. And my hernia repair done just 5 days ago has been painless for 4 days.
I'm Mary, and I'd like you to light a candle of joy, please. My mom was here last night, and we went and saw the Bel Canto Choir down at St. Josephette, and it was just beyond beautiful.
Hi, my name is Beth. Can you please light a candle of concern for Chris and his parents? We got called right before we were leaving for church. Chris is taking his dad to the hospital right now, and we're trying to figure out what all is going on, but his health is declining rather rapidly right now. So, candle of concern.
Hi, I'm Tony. I'd like to light a candle of concern for my siblings and I and our spouses who've been on the roller coaster of dealing with my father, who's 95, who was very close to death's door on Tuesday and has sort of pulled back. The fever broke, but we're exhausted, and that's why.
Hi, I'm Sonia. I'll try to be succinct. I'd like to light a candle of joy and hope for this wonderful congregation and the immense growth that I have had the honor of being part of since joining this church 10 years ago. Personally, it has meant for me finding my voice. I never could have imagined speaking in front of this church, even in joys and concerns. And since then, I have given sermons, I have led committees. I was co-president of the church when we bought this church, with the desire to grow from a family-sized church, and we have grown immensely in 5 years to a pastoral-sized church. Now we're coming up against the next transition, which, according to the UUA, is called a program-sized church. And with that, as in the first transition, there will be some growing pains, but I'm really happy to say that even as a republic with an elected board, the board and the minister are still very willing to hear all of our voices. And in that spirit, I ask everyone who intends to be part of this next transition to stay today for the 11:45 listening session, when some of these very important implications of transition will begin to be discussed. If you're going to be part of that, please take your children home and come back, or remain after the service and let your voices be heard.
Let us join together in a period of meditation and reflection and prayer. hearts are joined together in this time of worship and this briefer time of prayer and reflection. We seek life-giving and life-serving connections. All our relationships of privilege and responsibility, which support and sustain each of us and all of us, all the relationships which connect and which uphold the world. We long to be thoughtfully connected within ourselves to the realm of our inner being and well-being. And our inner being and well-being require occasions of active engagement with others. And with others, we require involvement in the world we all inhabit. We also require times of quiet and thoughtfulness, times to restore our hearts, times to renew our souls, times to refresh our intellects. And we long, too, to be connected with others, with our families, with our friends, with our acquaintances, with our colleagues in work and profession, with concerned and active people in our communities and throughout the world. In all these ways, we seek to discern and to engage the many extraordinary opportunities that inhabit life's every ordinary moments and occasions. Each and every day, here lie life's sacred dimension. Each and every day, here lie our shared religious opportunities and witness. Each of us and all of us are life's co-creators. Each and all, we are partners in bringing sacred possibility to life. May this common religious faith be our religious practice day by day. And now, in silence, let us continue in this sphere of meditation and prayer. Amen. I invite you to rise in body or in spirit, and let us join together in singing hymn number 352, Find a Stillness.
Still. Spirit, with the Spirit giving power, I will find true
harmony. Our reading this morning is taken from the writings of Howard Thurman. Howard Thurman served for many years in the theological school at Boston University, and he was the creator of an interracial congregation in San Francisco in a time when there were even fewer interracial congregations than there are today. The daily round is often so full of sameness that the monotony and routine seeps into our very spirits. Each succeeding day is like the day that preceded it, until at last they fuse into one continuous interval of dullness. Or it may be that the level of our expectancy in life is so low that we become immune to possibilities beyond that which is contained in the passing moment. It is entirely possible so to live that there is no anticipation of something beyond our immediate demands. When this is our tempo, our very citadel has to be stormed by some tremendous event, some spectacular invasion of our senses, or some sudden jeopardy to our sense of casual well-being before we can spill over into experiences that take us beyond our immediate demand. When this happens, we may call it a miracle of coincidence, the experience extraordinary. It is important to remember, however, that life all about us is full of moments which, without warning, may become the rare moment in which the individual may become awakened to much, much more than he had ever dreamed as being possible for him. It need not be some startling disclosure coming on the wings of a great insight. It may be a shaft of light picking up colors in a piece of rock. It may be the solitary voice of a bird alone on the branch of a tree singing his morning song. It may be a face encountered in a crowded streetcar. It may be a word spoken by a friend, illuminating it with a rush of new meaning and fresh insight. It may be the taste of food that moves through all the reaches of the senses, making magic out of bread and the eating thereof. Or it may be an impulse to do a kindness which unlocks a hidden door opening into a veritable treasure house of riches never before even guessed. The only thing we know is that as we live from today to day, we are ever in candidacy for the moment which may be for us the moment that awakens us to much, much more than what has gone before. How wonderful it is to keep the level of expectancy high to the end that our lives may not be smothered by the routine of our days. Here ends our reading for this morning. Thank you. Thank you, Morgan. It's good to have you back among us and to hear your music. And I understand we're going to be hearing it a good bit this Christmas season. That's great. Ready, not ready. Christmas is upon us. The celebration waits neither for schedules nor psyche's preparation. Nature's symmetry, rhythmic rounding toward light, isn't reflected inevitably. The human heart season travels an irregular course, and Christmas may coincide exactly when life least moves us to joyful proclamation. As I reflected on this Christmas season, I was reminded of these words that I wrote some years ago. They express the sentiment of my heart this season. I'm not prepared for Christmas. And Christmas approaches. It is nearly here. I am not ready, and I am not sure I will be ready this year. Yes, I will go through the necessary motions and preparations. I will fulfill my self-assigned responsibilities and duties. And I suspect I will even enjoy the activity much of the time. I will feel a sense of accomplishment in the preparation and presentation of sermons and other worship services over Christmas. But I have to acknowledge that emotionally, something is missing for me this year, and that I have a numbness of spirit. I have an unfulfilled space of apprehension and dread, an emptiness of anticipation. I find myself in a cold and dark and lonely place. Why? I look for explanations, for a rationale to explain away my emotional state. Is it the deep political, social, and economic divide that splits our nation in two? Is it the continuing and escalating spirals of violence in Iraq and Pakistan and Afghanistan that daily cost the lives of people around the world and American military men and women and wrecks death and destructions on the people of those countries? And leaves their villages and towns in ruin. I fear, in Abraham Lincoln's words, that a house so divided against itself cannot stand. Is it busyness? Perhaps I know my daily schedule is often too full, and I cross off tasks on my daily list. And there is a kind of primal satisfaction in drawing lines through tasks' accomplishment. There is a kind of self-affirmation in this visual evidence that I'm accomplishing something. But each night, I am aware that there are more tasks to add than those I have finished and crossed off. And the recognition comes again. I might not ever catch up. I maybe will always be behind. And in the middle of the night, I awake from sound sleep and wonder, what does all this life activity mean anyway? Does it make any difference at all? What am I accomplishing with my life? And lying there in the darkness, there is no answer. There is nothing to explain the underlying profound uneasiness that permeates my being. And there is something more. Is it perhaps this Christmas season's constant temptation to crass consumption? Yes, I am tempted and more than tempted to participate in the giving and the receiving, the almost endless procession of a few necessary and many more unnecessary gifts. We, who already have more than we need or can ever use, give and receive still more. And more comes to mean less and less. Our lives are clogged with things, and possessions come to possess us. They possess our time, our space, our attention. And our beings seek and disappear into the possession and maintenance of things. And we come to know intimately Emerson's insight that things are in the saddle. Things ride us aimlessly and relentlessly in all directions, and we are captive to a lifestyle, and we disappear behind and lose ourselves in all of these acquisitions. Yes, I have too much. I need less, not more, even as I often seek more. But there is something more. I could relinquish all that I have, all that has me, and there would remain the profound uneasiness that courses through my being. Is that something more? My reactive and practiced cynicism about Christmas? The vulgarization of Christmas in banal commercialism and conspicuous overconsumption does justify a jaundiced rejection of the season. If it is too much, we reason, then let it be nothing at all. Join Scrooge. Bah, humbug. I will have nothing to do with all of this corruption. Well, even if I could maintain this righteous cynicism, and I have to acknowledge I cannot, there is still something more. Cynicism does not answer the pervasive dis-ease I feel arising from deep within. There is something else underneath the cynicism that I have not uncovered. Is that something more? Seasonal depression? Is the alienating experience of one who feels an outsider to the perceptions of the insiders joy in this season? That is a real experience for many, and there are those who promote and project a flawed Christmas myth of unrelieved happiness and illness and endless fulfillment. If happiness and fulfillment are Christmas norms, who but malcontents and the maladjusted could experience depression and alienation? Yes, there is plenty to depress me and alienate me, but that's not my fundamental problem. There's something more I have not yet uncovered. There is something deeper I have not reached. I am not prepared. I am not yet prepared. And yet, Christmas is upon us, arriving precisely when long night is darkest and coldest and loneliest. Christmas comes. Yes, Christmas comes, and unprepared, I stand in silence before Christmas' possible meanings. I stand in silence, and it is awkward and it is uncomfortable. What happens in that silence? Perhaps nothing happens. Vincent Silliman, Unitarian Universalist minister, reminds us, there is a quiet that is all emptiness. There is an experience of the huge nothingness of silence, and it is an important, awe-inspiring, and humbling experience when it occurs. But there is another silence. Vincent Silliman says, there is quiet that is life. And that is the quiet that I know I need. I need to listen for the quiet that is life. And even if I can not find anything in silence, I need to be open to silence that I may be found. Even if I cannot grasp something in silence, I need to be open that I may be grasped. There is silence of vast potential and anticipation. And Vincent Silliman speaks of that too. A quiet whereto one may retire, not to evade responsibility or whatever of strife may be necessary, quiet that brings increase of strength. And that is the silence I need. A silence that becomes thoughtful. A silence that calls me. I need to listen for the silent call which arises both deep within me and far beyond me. What I desperately need is to hear and respond to the call of thoughtfulness, intention, purpose in my living. And this is a lifetime vocation to be called to thoughtfulness. The reason I am not ready for Christmas is that I have been just too damn busy and preoccupied. I have not taken the time to enter into the quiet silence where I can thoughtfully reflect. All my concerns, all my activity have left me spiritually bankrupt and emotionally exhausted. And what I have missed is this. The theme of this season is an invitation. It is an anticipation. It is an expectation. This season is a preparation. It is a way of getting ready for the wonder and joy that lie in renewal of the human spirit. I have been too preoccupied to be found and to be grasped by that wonder and joy. My ears have been deaf. My eyes have been blind. My heart has been closed to the silent and thoughtful call, the call coming to me. What I have missed is a Christmas celebration that can serve as a model for daily living. The question for me is, what daily gifts are there to receive and to offer and to share? And the answer lies in my relationships with others. All those others are my neighbors. My neighbor is everyone, not just an exclusive company of my kind of people. My religious faith and values inform me that all my relationships are to be assessed in the light of the sanctity of life, serving to uphold and enhance the sanctity of life. And in that light, I am called to seek to live out relationships of justice and peacefulness and mercy, relationships of faithfulness and loyalty and loving kindness. This call to live up to my religious faith and values says that I must incorporate the full range of human experience in this world. And this call means that I must be open to and respond to the anguish and pain that is an inevitable part of life and living for me and for you and everyone else. And it is a snare and a delusion to deny this reality by papering it over in an attempt to focus on the joys of the season. It is a disservice both to our own reality and the world's reality of pain to pretend that we can be made happy and content and whole simply in the season's color or its material gifts or its cheerfulness. The promise of the Christmas season does not lie in denying the world's reeling woe. Hope does not lie in denying and avoiding grief and suffering. Hope lies in facing these realities head on. And I, for one, have been resisting that obvious and simple recognition. I know it, but I have been avoiding it, denying it. I know it, but it is not a lesson once learned that forever thereafter will guide my life. I must learn it again and again and again. I must remember it and reinforce it in my living, in my thinking, in my feeling, in my celebrating, and in my responding. Hope, if there is hope, lies in the very midst of human suffering. Hope lies in the compassion with which we greet our suffering neighbors. Hope lies in our response, in the gift of our time and our effort and our resources, in the gift of ourselves. What will this mean to my Christmas? It means a decision to allocate the time for personal reflection. It means a decision to provide for purposeful family gatherings that reflect the meaning and the possibilities of a season of hope. It means participating in gatherings of our religious community to share and to celebrate the meaning and the possibilities of a season of hope. It means to assign our gifts of time and energy and skills to serve all of our neighbors, to serve our common home and our common future. Here is the season's wonder and mystery. Christmas comes to break open our lonely restraint. Christmas comes to break down our cold resistance. Christmas comes to break in upon our dark resistance. Christmas comes, and it makes no difference whether or not we are prepared. So unprepared, let Christmas reside in our midst and dwell among us and inhabit our lives with warmth and light. Christmas comes, and it makes no difference whether or not we are ready. So ready or not ready, prepare your ears to hear, and eyes to see, and hearts to receive, and hands to serve. Remember that Christmas healing annunciation lies within and through and beyond despair. And it is here. Peace, goodwill, love. This is the Christmas I seek. This is the Christmas I need. This is the Christmas I would serve. And so may you. And may it be the kind of Christmas that we give and receive and serve. Amen.
Thank you, Jim. Now is the time for the polylog. We have a few minutes here, so anyone that would like to share their thoughts about what has been spoken today or your seasonal anxieties.
Hi, my name is Robin Reed, and Christmas is very special for me. It has been for all my life. My father was an artist down at the Institute of Design in Chicago, teaching art, and year round. He was designing Christmas cards, and so our house was full of his cards, and so we had Christmas feeling all year round. But as I grew up, I started the puppet business that I worked with, and later on, I got a job around Christmas. From big show I would have to invent and put on, and so I was running that every Christmas season at General Electric. They had mobs of people coming in and out, and but now I'm retired from that, but I'm going to be back putting out Christmas cards for my friends anyway. So it has great meaning to me.
Thank you, Jim, for the service. I really liked your words. I think we all reflect on that to some extent, but don't always take the time to sit and find that intentional quietude. It's a very action-oriented, passionate community, but we all need that reminder. I think I definitely do, to take the time to be quiet as well. Thanks.
Thank you, Jim. My name's Lynn. Our family, our extended family, has a new tradition we started a few years ago in making the gift giving a little different. And what we do is share our time together creating a piece of art. There might be 20 around a table, and we have a little piece of canvas. And we start with something that was meaningful for us that we did the last year. And you have a little bit of a drawing, and then you pass it. And people add to it, and beautiful creations at the end, and wonderful time together and sharing things that we've done.
John here. Thank you, Jim. And I just want you to know, as you ponder your lists of completed things and the meaning of them all, as I see it, you certainly make a difference for us, and it is meaningful to us, you know, the work that you do. So, thank you.
Al here. I also appreciate the depth of the exploration you put forth, and I think that we all grow up learning to do, and we spend our time doing. And you give me food for thought to try to do less do and to be more just be.
Hi, this is Tom. For the past 25 years, when we had kids had started. Our Christmas has been primarily related around our own personal family and just sort of, you know, cocooning together for the day. And we're in kind of a transition now. Laurie will be conducting two services on Christmas Eve and another one on Christmas Day. And our 20-something children are let us know they're available to do things with us, and even one fiancé. And so your sermon today let me know that maybe I have an opportunity to think what it would be like going forward.
Thank you all for sharing your thoughts. And now we will have our offertory. Baskets will be passed. If you are a guest here, please do not feel that you need to make a contribution. And we appreciate all the ongoing giving that members do, not in the basket.
Join me in congregational affirmation number 489. When love is felt or fear is known, when holidays and holy days and such times come, when anniversaries arrive by calendar or consciousness, when seasons come as seasons do, old and known, but somehow new. When lights are born or people die, when something sacred's sensed in soil or sky, mark the time. Respond with thought or prayer or smile or grief. Let nothing living slip between the fingers of the mind. For all of these are holy things we will not, cannot find again. Could you join me in our closing hymn, which is number 331, Life is the Greatest of All.
Please be seated. We gathered here to offer our audacious religious testimony, and that is that the unity of the human spirit undergirds and binds together diverse, marvelous, and sometimes contradictory human ways. Now, as we go forth, let us be confident in the faith we can help build a world wherein the many peoples are known to be one humanity with a common destiny. Amen.